The following program is sponsored by Bell and Pollock PC. Welcome to Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. Attorneys Gary Bell and Brad Pollock are ready to work for you. Reach Gary, Brad, and their team at championsofthepeople.com or by calling 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900.
Good morning. Welcome to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Rob Brovich in studio today. Talking to you about a unique topic. Gary Bell is out of town, so we're here to discuss with you and to talk to you about a legal topic. We have choose a legal topic each week, try to make it a different legal topic, something that will be interesting to you and also help you to know your legal rights. We are a personal injury firm. We are Bell and Pollock. You can find us at bellpollock.com or championsofthepeople.com. If you have questions, you can give us a call at 303-795-5900. That's 303-795-5900. Or look us up at championsofthepeople.com or bellpollock.com. And on the internet, we have an interactive website, which basically means you have the ability to leave notes for us or ask us questions on the website. We'll pick them up and respond. We are 24/7 with respect to our answering service. So when you call at 303-795-5900, if it's off hours, somebody will take your call and relay it to an attorney, not a legal paralegal or not a legal assistant. They won't be sending it off to an investigator. They'll send it to an attorney, and that information will be acquired by the attorney, and they'll give you a call to discuss your case, to help you out. Like every other personal injury law firm in the state, the conference, the initial conference, or you calling up the attorney is free. You hear quite often attorneys saying, well, the initial conference is free, and acting like that's something really special. We all do it. And you can't be worried about that. It's a free consultation, because what's going to happen is if everybody agrees that you're going to be their client and they're going to be your attorney, they're going to work on a percentage or a contingency basis. Now, I say like every other, I'd have to say, wouldn't you say, Rob, 99.5%?
That's correct, right around 99.5%.
Or maybe 99.8% or not 0.9%. I don't know any attorneys who are doing workers' comp or doing personal injury work where they don't work on a percentage basis. Now, they do have to offer, and we do, when you come into our office, we do offer an hourly rate that you can pay on a regular basis with a retainer, but I'm not so sure why anybody would choose that process or that procedure unless they are so certain it's going to take maybe an hour of the attorney's time, and they're certain of the result, and the attorney agrees to it. So you're going to find your representation to be based on a contingency basis, which means what you hear from attorneys on TV all the time: we don't get paid unless you get paid. That's what it means. We don't get paid unless you get paid. And that's what you want to make sure you have in your attorney. Now, today, we're going to talk about workers' comp, or on-the-job injuries is what I like to call it. And on-job injuries workers' comp, which is an entire system within the judicial system, within the Colorado judicial system, that applies to workers' comp. You can find the workers' comp statutes at CRS 8-40-101 to 8-40-302. And we're really fortunate to have Rob with us today. Rob has been with us. How many years have you been with the law firm?
Right around 20 years now.
Okay, 20 years. And he does all sorts of personal injury work. He does regular car crash cases, regular slip and fall cases, regular negligence cases where somebody is causing injury of another. But he also does and is very good at workers' comp. And like I said, workers' comp is a magic word for getting injured while on the job.
I wish it was that easy. workers' comp, it seems like it could be so easy. If you're injured on the job, you're automatically entitled to benefits. But there are so many exceptions and nuances with regard to the Work Comp Act. And then there's the Work Comp Rules of Procedure. And then if you go to hearing, there's the Office of Administrative Court Rules. So it gets very complicated at times. And at times, you're going to need an attorney badly. And then at other times, I'll be the first to tell you when you don't need an attorney, and that's when the insurance carrier is not giving you a hard time about much of anything. They're providing all the treatment that's being recommended by your doctor, and paying all the benefits right on time and not questioning your injury or your lack of ability to return to work. In those situations, an attorney may not be required, but I'll sit down with you and tell you all about the work comp system if you want to learn about it. Even if you don't want to hire us, I can teach you a little bit about the system. I can't teach you all of it because it's just really detailed and it can get complicated.
And so let's start with the questions that we should start with, and that's when work comp's going to apply. And, you know, I keep saying on-the-job injury, and as Rob says, that's pretty simplistic. But there is a situation is, first of all, they have to determine your employee, right, Rob?
Correct. They have to determine that you're an employee, and that sounds strange, and it sounds like that it would be easy. You're injured on your job. I'm automatically entitled to benefits. Well, there's some exceptions to that as well. For example, maybe I claim to be an independent contractor, and we have to go to hearing to determine if I'm an independent contractor or an actual employee. Maybe I'm a loaned employee. Like, for example, when construction companies rent cranes out, they usually provide the crane operator. So then you're a loaned employee. And then where do you go for benefits if you get injured? You're the employer that loaned you or the employer who you're actually working for with the crane? It gets a little bit complicated, especially when it comes to the if you want to be an independent contractor, there's a test. What it boils down to is, does your employer have control over your day and where you work and what you do and how you do it? That's what it boils down to. There's about 9 different criteria to determine whether or not someone's in an independent contractor, but those are just a couple examples of when it does get complicated, or if you're a volunteer.
So you're looking at things like let's say you're a referee at high school games, and you do refereeing. Are you an employee or are you not an employee of the high school, of the school district, of someone else?
Exactly. You could. It all depends on the facts and circumstances of the situation. Does the school require you to ref every game? Do they control where you have to be? Are you able to work other jobs, or are you a full-time ref? Do they provide the equipment? Do they provide a uniform? Do they control your hours and how you referee? Those are basically some of the criteria you look at, but it boils down quite a bit to whether or not they control you and how much control they have over you.
And the circumstances can be even larger. You know, I said a high school referee. What if you're a college referee? What if you're a professional referee? How do you fit within the requirements that they talk about? And a lot of times they're talking about whether or not, what rules do you have to follow? Are you called upon to exercise your independent judgment? Do you retain sole discretion and control over the performance of the officiating duties? Can the school direct you to change a call? is that something they can direct you to, or are you going to find yourself an independent contractor? And remember, now, and we'll talk about that a little bit on the next segment of the show, but this is a big deal because it's not just do you get hurt while you're reffing the game. The question is there an injury that occurs in, I guess we call it, the exercise of your employment or in the duties of your employment. And that can stretch beyond just what you consider to be the actual time that you're there working for your employer.
Boy, it sure can. For example, what's always a hot topic for litigation is the driving to and from work if you're using your employer's vehicle. If your employer pays for the vehicle, pays for gasoline, and you drive the vehicle to and from work, are you an employee? And I can't even tell you right now because we need to do an investigation and see what the facts and circumstances are of that loan agreement with that vehicle. In a lot of circumstances, I'd say yes right away, but there are cases when although the employer does give you a vehicle, you're still not on the job until you arrive at the employer's place of business.
And can they give you a contract, Rob, where they say you're not an employee?
They sure can. They can give you a contract that says you're not an employee. It has to have certain items in the contract. But if that contract it complies with the statute, then there's a presumption that you are an independent contractor, but that can be overcome if you go to hearing. So it helps out for if you want to be considered an independent contractor to get that agreement in place, because that at least gets you some evidence of you being an independent contractor and not an employer or employee, I'm sorry.
But we talked about nine certain factors that might also play into it. And those nine factors have to be considered in relationship to the contract, because you don't want an illusory contract where they say you're not an employee, but the manner and method by which you're required to carry out your employment makes you an employee.
That's correct. In fact, recently I had a case where my client had signed the agreement, and he was hired to be a truck driver, but the employer had control of his entire schedule, provided the truck that he needed to drive, provided the uniform, provided the gas card, and the hearing officer, the judge determined that the truck driver was in fact an employee, and the employer had to provide work comp insurance and benefits for the employee.
And you think, as you're sitting there, or as you're driving right now, or as you're doing different activities and you're listening to the show, you're saying, okay, when would I define myself as being on the job? And do I define myself as being an independent contractor or an employee? And the way I define myself, does that stick or does it not stick?
It can change. For example, let's say I go out, go grab a sandwich, and I'm involved in a car crash. And this is at work. I go and get a sandwich at Whole Foods across the street, and I get in a car crash. In that situation, in most cases, you're not going to be considered an employee because you're not going to be on the job. But if my employer directs me to go get a sandwich, then I can be considered an employee, because I was ordered by my employer to perform some tasks for the business, or him, he or she.
A very simple process that turns into a difficult one. You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Rob Brovich are in studio today. We're talking to you about how you get paid or how you get reimbursed for injuries that occur on the job. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
Mandy Connell here with the Legal Minute from my friends at Bell and Pollock. Listen for more great advice on the Bell and Pollock Injury Show, Saturdays at 10 on KOA.
Hi, I'm Gary Bell of the law firm of Bell and Pollock. We are injury attorneys, and this is your Legal Minute. You've been injured in a car crash. You need to prove your injuries to the insurance company so you can get paid. The insurance company for the at-fault party, the one who hits you or rear-ended you or T-boned you. And if you say my neck hurts and you don't say anything else, what do you think the value of that is? Tell me. Right now. Tell me. If you say I hurt my low back in this rear-end accident, it really hurts me a lot. I haven't been to the doctor. What's the value of that? There is a way, there are ways, to prove your injuries to the insurance companies, but that's not the best way. Call Bell and Pollock, Gary Bell, Brad Pollock, 303-795-5900, or go to our website, championsofthepeople.com. We'll help you.
Get more information or help from Bell and Pollock at championsofthepeople.com.
We're back with Champions of the People, the Bell and Pollock Injury Show. For over three decades, the personal injury attorneys at Bell and Pollock have provided compassionate, personalized legal service. Put their experience to work for you. Go to championsofthepeople.com or call 303-795-5900.
Welcome back to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock and Rob Brovich in the studio today. We're talking to you about injuries on the job. Now, for a lot of you, you go, okay, I have an injury on the job, and we can talk about the different injuries. We can talk about the driving your car down the road and while you're working and you get an injury in an accident, and you've been hurt on the job. We're talking about what happens if you're out doing a job, or you're doing a job in an office or something else, and you're hurt as a result of the negligence of someone else on the in the job. What happens if you're hurt because you're riding with a person while you're driving down the road and going to a sales meeting across town from the office, and that person is negligent in the way they drove the car? Can you sue your employee? Can you sue your coworker for your injuries? What can you do, and how can you do it? And, you know, Rob brought up an interesting question. If he takes a lunch now, and while he's working for Bell and Pollock, and goes to take lunch, that's one thing. But Rob, you know, and I think maybe the answer is obvious to everybody, but let's make sure we cover. What if I say, hey Rob, go ahead and go to lunch. I don't tell you where to go. You can go wherever you want. And I say, but while you're out, can you pick up a sandwich for my secretary?
Yeah, that's a little bit of a gray area. My employer is basically ordering me to go grab a sandwich for someone at the workplace, and I really don't have a choice. He's telling me that's what I have to do. You have a strong argument that you would be considered to be on the job the entire time. Now, a judge might say that you were going out on your own, and that was just something you did as a favor, and so you're not covered by work comp benefits. But and I believe in a lot of, at least 50% of the situations, you'll be considered to be not an employee, not on the job at that time.
Now, why is that so important? I mean, saying, hey, so what? You went out and got hurt. Let's say you're in a car crash. Why would it be important to determine if you were an employee at the time you got in the car crash?
Okay, the work comp system is a no-fault system. So regardless of who's at fault, you're automatically entitled to benefits. So if you caused the car crash, you'd still be entitled to work comp benefits. Whereas if you did not... did not have work comp benefits and you were considered off the job, then you would not be entitled to, let's say, bodily injury insurance recovery, because you caused the crash. So that's one reason why it's real important. And another reason is so many people get injured while on traveling or going to lunch, and if you're on the job and you're traveling, there's a chance you could get two different sets of benefits, one through the car crash insurance and then one through the work comp insurance.
All right, so let's break it down. If I'm driving the car and I'm driving along in the road and I cause the crash, and let's say I've got a coworker next to me in the car, and I'm out picking up a sandwich for one of the other coworkers, for a couple of them back in the office. The boss has asked me to do that. I'm driving the car and I cause a crash. I'm negligent. I have caused the problem. So, and let's say the person in the car with me, my fellow employee, is hurt. So now my fellow employee is looking to see, to make me responsible. Are they going to be able to sue me?
If the judge determines that you were covered by work comp insurance, then no, they're not going to sue you. They're going to go through the workers' compensation system, because once you go through that system, your employer is immune from liability, and any coworker, for the most part, is immune from liability. And I'd be a coworker, so you couldn't sue me directly if I had work comp coverage.
So when we're talking about the fact I caused a crash, you can't sue me directly. You can collect workers' comp. Is that good or bad?
It can be great in some situations if the bodily injury policy is not going to provide any benefits or coverage because I caused the crash, then all you have to rely on is the work comp system. And so, it can be very important, especially if you're severely injured. You don't have to pay for any of your medical treatment.
Let's take it a step further. Let's say I'm a construction worker and I'm going to do construction out on a job site, or I'm doing roofing on a roofing site, and I do something negligent that causes my fellow employee and me both to fall off the roof and we both get hurt.
You both would be entitled to workers' compensation benefits. That's a little bit easier than the previous example, but with that one, you both would automatically be entitled to workers' compensation benefits.
And why is that important to my fellow employee?
Because your fellow employee, if you did not have workers' compensation benefits, then your fellow employee would be limited to maybe suing my homeowner's insurance if I injured that employee, or if I didn't have homeowner's insurance, he would be left out in the cold and having to rely on his own health insurance and getting no benefits throughout the process.
So there'd be nowhere for my fellow employee to go.
That's correct.
How about me?
You should be entitled to benefits even though you caused the incident. You caused your fellow employee to get injured, and it was all your fault. In most situations, you could get benefits.
So we're talking about the fact, if I go out and I am on the job and I am working and I cause an accident because of my negligence and it causes me to get hurt, I can still get workers' comp insurance to cover what for me?
That's the beauty of work comp, is it was designed to provide coverage quickly, so the injured employee didn't have to wait for a decision to find out whether or not who was at fault, to determine who was at fault for causing the injury. But what you get entitled to is all your medical treatment is paid for. No co-payments, no deductibles, medications all paid for. You get wage loss benefits and work comp. They're called temporary total disability benefits, and it's 2/3 of your average weekly wage, and that's tax-free. If you go back to work part-time, you get 66% of the wages that you're missing out on. So, and that's those are called temporary partial disability benefits. Eventually, the doctor will say you're at maximum medical improvement. It does not mean you're 100%. It means that you're as good as you're going to get. And then the doctor will give you, these are work comp doctors, by the way. The work comp doctor will give you an impairment rating, and they take a weekend course to get accredited and learn how to give impairment ratings. They'll give you an impairment rating, and you then, based on that rating, you could be entitled to permanent partial disability benefits. So it can get complicated. It really can. But at the same time, if the insurer cooperates, it can go smoothly, but sometimes these cases can actually go on for years.
Well, you're talking about the medical bills. For how long do I get my medical bills paid?
As long as your treating doctor thinks you need medical treatment.
So we could be going on forever if we
could. We've had a case, you and I had a case a long time ago where we had a client that was severely injured and due to a medical malpractice, and she was going to need all kinds of maintenance treatment for the rest of her life, and they're still providing it, and that was 10, 15 years ago.
And the question is do you want to shut down that medical care by taking a lump sum up front? And if you do, then what are going to be the consequences?
Right. If you do that, and my clients are always asking me whether they should or shouldn't, and I routinely tell them that it's their choice, because if you close out your work comp benefits, that means you get nothing in the future, and you're waiving your right to reopen your case. And we don't know at this time how badly you're going to need those benefits in the future. It's a little bit of a risk you're undertaking, but if you do close out your work comp claim, depending on what the doctors say you need for future benefits, they will give you money for closing it out based upon the benefits the doctors think you need and will need in the future.
But let's go back. We're going to go back to square one, because we've talked about whether or not you need a lawyer, or if you do or you shouldn't get a lawyer. And it's my firm belief to anybody listening that if you get hurt on the job, if you have any kind of injury, this had you have to go to the doctor for any reason, you really, or if there's been an incident where you've caused somebody else to have to go to the doctor, you really need to get at least initial contact with a lawyer who practices work comp, who understands the system, who can explain it to you and can best benefit you for what's happening.
Right. A consultation is absolutely necessary in every case, so you're put on notice of what benefits you should be receiving and what you're entitled to receive. And I'll meet with you, and then even if you don't hire me, I'll take your phone call if you have any questions, further questions, as you're there in the process of your claim. We're happy to help you out, and we can make the initial consultation as long or as short as you want it. I mean, I can explain the system to you, or if you just have specific questions, that'll work as well.
So, we're starting out with this process of get a hold of an attorney. Now, when we're talking about getting a hold of an attorney, you want to get one that knows what they're doing in a workers' compensation area, that has some background, some experience, some knowledge, and understands what they're trying to do. You want to make sure that you can give the attorney full information. And once again, when Rob's saying he'll help you, we're talking about, again, a situation where there's no charge for that initial consultation.
No, not at all. And there's no charge for you to call me and ask questions either. If that's what you want to do, I'll be happy to help any way I can.
Right. And so, and you'll know when you've hired the attorney, because you're going to be signing a contract.
You will. And you're going to know that you're with the wrong attorney if all of a sudden he's trying to jam a contract down your throat and sign it before you leave and not go over the contract with you. You need to be aware of the provisions of the contract that when you hire an attorney, take some time to think about it and then ask questions. You're going to have questions about that contract. The basics are simple. In a work comp case, we are only entitled to charge 20%. I say only, but that's the only reason I say only is because in auto cases, you can charge up to 40%. But so in work comp cases, it's 20%, the contingency fee or whatever we recover for you. And then you're still responsible for costs, and those are very minor in a work comp case. It's usually just us requesting medical records, and that's basically it. Those are the main two components of that contract. But there's some other things we'll have to go over too. But Yeah, just find someone with some experience. When I mean experience, make sure they've been doing it at least 5 years, and sit down with them. If you have a bad feel about them, go hire someone else. You can meet with as many attorneys as you want till you feel comfortable.
You're listening to the Bell and Pollock Legal Show. Brad Pollock, Rob Brovage in the studio today, talking to you about injuries on the job, personal injuries that have occurred on the job, your workers' comp rights. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back.